Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, and we're continuing this new series called Any Questions?
Any Questions?
Episode 208.
208. All right, so we're just answering people's random questions that we get from, we've had people submit them social media and stuff, so send us one if you got one. And we've also had some people email some in, and then we've had some people ask them directly, and so we're just trying to answer as many of them as we can kind of get through in this series until we get tired of doing it, and we'll change to another series. So this is our fourth one. Mm-hmm. We did one on why are there so many denominations. We did one on once you're honest with your spouse, how do you move forward, take steps forward. And then we did the last one. We did how to read the entire Bible, mm-hmm. how to study the entire Bible. That was a cool episode, by the way.
I enjoyed that one.
Man, we was like quick fire ways to sort of read the Bible and which ones work, which ones don't. And
it's informative.
All kinds of different ways to approach that. And that was the last one. And today we have our fourth question from Crystal. Crystal, thank you for asking this question. It's a pretty good one. I think it'll help everybody. Steph, what we got?
Okay. When is enough enough when trying to invest in someone and help them with their salvation? How much time do you invest when it feels like it's going nowhere and nothing you do or say gets through to them?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
Very good question. This is something we're all going to face if we are actually active in our faith, which means we should be caring about the faith of others and where they are and what they're doing, and we should be investing in people. That is a part of evangelism. Evangelism is not just stand on a soapbox outside and scream scripture. Matter of fact, Adam Cook would tell you that that's probably not what evangelism is at all. But this is part of being a Christ follower, is that you are investing in other people's lives and you're trying to guide them to Christ all the time. And so obviously what Crystal's saying is there's a little frustration here. So Crystal, we're going to read through the words a little bit, read between the lines and see that there's some frustration going on. So when is enough enough when trying to invest in someone and help them with their salvation? So that means probably that you are continually trying to help someone come to Christ and they just ain't having it, right? So when is enough enough? Gosh, there's all kinds of ways we can go with this. Here's the best way I know to talk about this. When you invest in someone's life, right, then you earn the privilege and opportunity to speak into their life when you invest. And so, in other words, when you show someone that you actually care about them, then they begin to care what you think. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard the old phrase that nobody cares what you think until they know that you care.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the same thing applies into investing in someone. When they know that you care about them, then they're much more likely to listen to what you have to say. So that's the first key, is maybe you're feeling frustrated, enough is enough, you're trying to invest and they don't want it. Maybe they don't care what you think. And you don't have their ear. That makes sense?
Yep.
And so if you do not have someone's ear, if you do not have the right to speak into their lives, then you don't. And so those are the times where you back off and continue to show them that you care, love on them, and when the time comes around, you have invested enough to be able to actually speak into their life when they want to hear it. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
So sometimes the frustration comes along with you're consistently trying to talk to someone who has not given you their ear to be able to do that. And in other words, you don't have the privilege, opportunity, or right in their life to speak into it yet. And so you just don't. The key in those situations is you pray for them no matter what, right? And maybe you realize, all right, I'm going to keep my mouth shut here and I'm just going to keep showing this person that I love them. I'm going to keep showing this person that I care about them. And then at some point, they're going to care what you think and you'll have the right to speak into their life, but you don't stop praying for them, right? So you pray for them. And here's a big one that I've talked to a lot of people about. There are a lot of parents who feel this way, okay? Like, I really want my child to come to Jesus. I really want my child to grow in their faith in God. They don't want to hear what I have to say, right? This may be hard to hear as a mama or a dad, but maybe you're not the person for this, for that person, for that kid in your life. And it could be anybody. It doesn't have to be a parent. But I've had this conversation lots of times. Maybe you're not the person. So what you want to do is transition your prayers to, instead of just praying for them, I think that you should pray for whoever the person is that God is going to bring into their life, that is going to get their ear and lead them to Jesus, is going to get their ear and help them, you know, understand and seek God. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
Pray for the person that God is going to send. That prayer can look like this. Like, God, at this season in this person's life, I'm not the person, right? I'm not it. I'm going to keep loving them and investing in them. I'm going to keep praying for them. But God, I'm going to transition my prayer. I'm going to pray, Lord, please send the person. Please equip the person that is going to come into their life, that's going to be able to lead them to Jesus. I'm not that person. I'm going to pray for that person to come into their life. There's a lot of parents like, I've had a lot of conversations with parents who have grown children, and they're like, I just want my child, you know, and this child is a grown person. I just want my child to come to Christ, but they don't want to have nothing. They don't want to hear nothing I say. They don't like it when I send them your sermons, Pastor. They don't want to hear me talk about Jesus, right? They don't want to listen to what I'm saying. And I'll say, maybe you're not the person. So pray for the person. Pray for that person that God's going to send in their life. Specifically, ask God. God, send, reveal this person, equip this person, and send this person into my son's life, my daughter's life, my friend's life, whoever it is, right? So that'd be my first thought, is that maybe the reason you're feeling this frustration of they don't want to hear what I have to say, because they don't want to hear what you have to say. You don't have that ear. Keep investing in them and pray for that person. The second part of the question is, how much time do you invest when it feels like it's going nowhere and nothing you do or say seems to get through to them? So if you do have their ear and they are listening to you, and you just keep on saying the same stuff and they hear you, they're listening to you, they're open to you, but nothing seems to happen with it, when do you stop? I don't know if you ever stop if that's the case, right? Because they are obviously listening. And you have to understand that this grand biblical idea that is also in life of sowing and reaping, right? Sowing and reaping. Sometimes you sow, sometimes you reap. Most of the time you're sowing. Most of the time you're not reaping, right? Most of the time it's a sow of the seed. God waters it on his time. God grows it on his time, right? The Holy Spirit's moving and working. And then every now and then you are around to reap the benefits of that, but sometimes you don't. Lots of times you're the one sowing. You're the one sowing and somebody else reaps it, right? So I'll give you an example. There was a podcast I listened to years ago that really spoke to me. I can't remember who said it, and that's how funny how it works. Can't remember who said it, can't remember what they did. But they were talking about, somebody asked this pastor, what do you feel about when people leave your church? You know, like, does it hurt you? Does it bother you? You know, all these kind of questions. And of course he was honest about it. You know, like, of course it hurts, right? We're humans. You know, so we want everybody to like us and we want everybody to stay with us. And you know what I mean? Like, and he said, but God has really opened my eyes to sowing and reaping, that as pastors, you're sowing into people's lives and then they end up leaving your church, going somewhere else, and somebody else reaps that. You know what I mean? And then sometimes people are, other pastors and other leaders are sowing into people and they leave their churches and they come to you and you reap that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the way it works. And you have to see a bigger picture of it, that that's the case. And that's really impacted my life. Like, I think about that all the time, that sometimes I'm sowing. A lot of times I'm sowing. Most of the time I'm sowing. And that somebody else might see the fruit of that work, that investment, those prayers, and that person goes along and, you know, moves away, goes to a different church, whatever it may be, right? And then somebody else sees them come into their own faith and grow in their faith and start to lead or whatever. And then they're reaping the benefits of us sowing into them years and years before. You have to remember that too. So if the second part of the question, how much time do you invest when it feels like it's going nowhere? You don't get to decide if it's going nowhere. You don't know if it's going nowhere. Nothing seems to be happening. Nothing you say seems to get through. You don't know if it's getting through or not.
Right.
That's not our job, right? We don't water. We don't bring the sunlight. We're not the one growing. You know what I mean? Like, our call is to share and sow, share and sow. And sometimes you get to be there in the moment where all that comes to fruition. The person comes to Jesus, or the person steps into their purpose in life, right? Or all of a sudden they're blossoming and growing in what they do. But, you know, sometimes you get to see that, sometimes you don't. And when you do get to experience that, it wasn't just you that sowed into it. There was all kinds of people who sowed into it who thought nothing was happening, never got to see the fruit of it, right? But then it did happen. And so you don't get to determine that nothing's happening. You don't know that. There was a guy in our church years ago. His wife started to get plugged in. He started to come begrudgingly. Didn't want to show up, right? Now, this was a rough-neck dude, man. This is a country boy, hard-working guy, tough, right? Beer-drinking guy. You know what I mean? Like a just tough old country boy. This is a tough guy. He shows up, and I looked at my wife, and I said, we will never reach him. We're never going to reach that guy. And I just how I felt, you know, and it was wrong view. I just was like dismissive. I was like, we'll never reach him. He's too hard. You know, it's just not going to happen. But I just kept preaching what I thought God was calling me to preach and going about that business. And every now and then I think to myself, again, we're never going to reach that guy. Well, you know, about a year later, all of a sudden, that dude comes to Jesus. That dude, everything changes in his life. And it was like God was telling me, you do what I tell you to. You follow what I say, and you leave that up to me. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, you leave those things up to me. Don't dismiss the work of sowing, right? Don't dismiss it. You sow those seeds. You spread that gospel. You share that love of Jesus. You know, you share all those things, and you don't, and I'll do the water, and I'll do the growing. It'll be in my time frame. The Holy Spirit's doing all this work in behind the scenes you have no idea about, and you do not assume that it won't work, or that person can't be reached, or nothing you're doing is working, or nothing seems to take root. Don't assume that, right? So, see, the first part of the question sounds like you don't have their ear. Well, then you continue to love them until you do, or you pray for the right person to come along. The second part of the question seems like you do have their ear, and you're just frustrated because you ain't seeing no growth, right? Well, don't assume that there's no growth.
Right.
Instead, here's what I'm trying to do now. Instead, assume that there is. Assume that it is reaching, that something is going on. You just don't see it. You just don't know it. They're just not telling you. But assume that God is working behind the scenes all the time. There's a theological term that's used primarily in the Methodist church, which goes back to our question, the first one about denomination. There's this term that's primarily used in the Methodist church. It's this theological term, prevenient grace. And prevenient grace means that God's grace is going before us all the time. And it's around us and before us, and it's drawing us to his goodness and his grace and his future. In other words, it's working around us all the time to bring us to him, to bring us to the promises of God and the future of God all the time, right? Don't dismiss that prevenient grace is there. In other words, do your job. You be faithful to Jesus personally. You live that out in your own life and let people see that light through you, right? You share when you have the person's ear. You love and you invest in the person and live out your faith, right? And trust and know that God's prevenient grace is working around all the time and is doing way more than you and I could ever think. So don't assume, Crystal, don't assume that it's not working. Don't assume that nothing's getting through. Instead, assume that it is. Assume that it really is working and that God is up to something and that that person is coming to Christ, growing to God, and that at some point in time, you may not see it, but it's okay. Assume that it is working. That's where I want to live, right? Mm-hmm. I want to live in the, no, my God is bigger than this, and he is working even though I feel like it's not happening, right? You know what I mean? And just keep sowing your seed. Sometimes you sow, sometimes you reap. And just, you know, I am naturally a negative person. I am a pessimist. I am growing, though, in God in being somebody who's going, nope, I'm going to assume that God is working in this. I'm going to assume that God is doing something. And I'm not going to ever again say, we're not going to reach that guy. Instead, I'm going to go, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to live how God's called me to live. I'm going to preach how God's called me to preach. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to share these things God's called me to share. And I'm going to assume that he's going to use it in every single person's life, that a seed is getting sown somehow or another, right? No matter what. So that's my best answer to that question. I think that it's the most honest way is to say, if you do not have somebody's ear, then quit preaching to them, right? Love them, invest in them, care for them until the time is right when you do have their ear, or pray for the person that God's going to bring in their life that is going to reach them. That's not you, right? Like, it's, you aren't the person that's going to reach everybody in this world. And the people you're really close to, it's probably not you. Let's just be real, right? Like, it's probably not you that's going to reach your brother or your sister. You got all kinds of baggage and history with them, right? It's probably not you, but it's somebody. And so it's probably not you that's going to reach your, you know, your child or whatever, right? But it might be somebody. So let's pray for the person that God's going to send. You know what I mean?
That's right.
We had a lady who, I don't know if everybody knows this, listen to the podcast, but we write names on the walls of our church of people that we want to come to Christ. And right now, literally upstairs right now, there's thousands and thousands of names on the wall. Matter of fact, we painted over a round of names. So underneath the names that are up there now, underneath them, underneath the layer of paint, there's about 10,000 more. We tell people that if you got somebody in your life that you want to pray to come to Jesus, that you're praying for to come to Christ, write their name on the wall. Well, I had a lady come up to me having this conversation about her son. She put her son's name on the wall. She prays for him every day. He don't want to hear nothing she has to say. I said, go find your son's name on the wall and write the name of the person you think God's going to use to reach your son, right? And so she thinks, she's like, I don't know who that is. I was like, think about it. Who do you think it might be? And so she writes down the name of his friend, right? So her son's name's on the wall, and then she writes his friend's name on the wall below it. She doesn't know. She just thinks he's a nice guy. She thinks he's a Christian, so she writes his name down. All right, so about 2 years later, she comes running up to me after a church service and says, my son came to Christ, Pastor. And I'm like, praise God.
That's
right?
Awesome.
And I don't even remember who her son's name is, right? I'm like, praise God, that's amazing. That's awesome. You know, you've been a hard praying mama. And she goes, guess who led him to Christ? The friend's name that I wrote underneath his name.
Whoa. That is so cool.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And she was like, you were right. It worked. And I was like, girl, it ain't me. It ain't me at all. I was just coming up with something in the moment, you know, that I thought was legit, right? Like,
yeah.
Who's the person that's going to lead them there? It's not going to be you. And she was like, you were right. It worked. And I was like, oh, God, praise God. Right. But maybe it's not you. Right.
Right.
So pray for that person. And it does happen all the time. Look, do not, it's so easy to get discouraged in sharing your faith with people that it doesn't seem to go anywhere. It's so easy to get discouraged. Do not believe, the enemy wants to discourage you and tell you, don't share your faith. Nobody's going to believe in Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, don't believe it because God's alive. He is working in this world and people are coming to Christ all over the world all the time, right? Don't believe it.
Yeah.
Right? It's happening constantly, right? Instead, be positive and go, no, I am believing that God is working. His prevenient grace is everywhere.
Yeah, right? And the devil also wants you to be like, he wants you to feel like it's all on you. They're definitely going to come now because you cussed them out.
Right,
like,
right, exactly. You know what I
mean? It's all on you.
They're never going to be a Christian now because of what you did, right?
Yeah.
Well, it ain't all on you. You know, mm-hmm. It ain't all on you. There's such a, man, there's a piece of scripture where Elijah is then decided that he's the only one. Woe is me, right? I'm the only one. And, you know, and it's all on me to do this. And God comes to him and says, what are you talking? I love his scripture. He says, I've got many people in this city, right?
Yeah.
There's lots of us, right? There's lots of us. In other words, I got lots of people doing this work. You ain't by yourself in this, right? There is lots and lots of people that God is using all over this world that are aware of it and aren't even aware of it. And the same thing for us. We are not aware when God uses us sometimes with a stranger, a random person, right? I mean, literally down to not even you telling them about the gospel. Like you walk in and you smile and you're kind to somebody as a Christ follower. All of a sudden you've sown some seed that then makes them open to it later on and you have no idea. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, don't despise that. Don't believe the enemy telling you that it's all on you, like Steph said, or that, you know, it's hopeless and nobody's going to come to Christ and nobody believes anymore. Bull, right? Bull. He is still alive and he is still working, right? And let's just remember, sometimes you sow, sometimes you reap. My plan is to sow until I die or Jesus comes to get me and reap whenever he puts it in front of me. You know what I mean? And not control the watering and the sunshine.
That's another word, control.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Can't control it.
It's not in my control. And I am nothing more. We are nothing more as Christians. We are vessels.
Yep.
Do what we're supposed to do. Do what he tells us to do. Live like he says. Open your mouth when the Holy Spirit says open your mouth and trust that God's going to do more with it, right?
That's right.
His prevenient grace is working all around us all the time. So, great question, Crystal. Don't lose hope here, right? And if you don't have the person's ear, shut your mouth. Keep investing in them until you do.
That's right.
So, and pray for that other person. Pray for whoever it is that is going to be the one, right? So, a lot of times we want to be the star of the show. We want to be the one that reaches the person.
That's a good point.
Right? Don't lay that down. Lay that sinfulness down and pray for God to use whoever God wants to. Right, mm-hmm. Exactly. Whoever God wants to use, right? Whoever God wants to use. I can't tell you how many times that, you know, we will have a salvation moment in the church service and people will raise their hand to accept Christ. I can't look at that as I'm the one who planted that in them while I was preaching and they came to Christ. That's coming from... That could be a mama that's been praying for that baby since the day they're born. That could be friends and pastors of old and Christians who've constantly talked to them about it, and it just happened to be right at that moment that I happened to be there to be able to reap it, right?
Right.
But it won't me who did it. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need to be the star of the show, right? We don't need to be the star of the show.
This is deep.
This is a good one. This is a good question.
Crystal, great question.
Good question, Crystal. That might be, it's going to be hard Crystal. To beat that question. It's going to be hard to beat that question. And it applies to all of us, right?
Yes, like this is absolutely.
You know, this whole idea of sowing and reaping is such a humongous premise in Scripture, and it applies to everything, not just evangelism. It applies to everything, right? So anyway, great question. Thank you.
All righty. Well, this is the end of the episode.
We're done. We'll see you next week with 208. Another question. What question?
That's 209.
Oh, yeah, this was 208.
Yeah.
My bad. 209. We'll be back with 209. Hey, we're about to hit at 210 episodes.
Crazy.
Already 10 already. More episodes after 200. It's great. I talked to somebody the other day, yesterday, at Olivia's graduation party. And they have been listening to, they don't go to church with us, but they've been listening to the sermons and on YouTube or something. And they were like, I wish you had a podcast. I was like, we do. And I was like, and it's not the sermons. It's not the sermons. It's just random stuff having to do with our walk with Jesus. And I was like, they were like, oh, that's cool. How often do you do it? I said, every week. And they were like, oh, that's amazing. And I was like, yeah. They were like, how many episodes do you have? And I was like, 200 and some. And they were like, oh my gosh, 200 and some episodes? I was like, yeah, it's pretty intense. So we do a bunch. Anyway, 209 is what we'll be back for next week. Mm-hmm. And the question is, we'll do it. The question is, how do we grow spiritually when we feel distant from God, when our only prayer is a sigh, a tear, or silence?
Yeah.
Woo.
Good. That was a good question.
I have a lot of experience personally with that. A lot. Mm-hmm. I feel like half my spiritual life has been that. Feeling distant, prayers or tears, prayers or silence. I got a lot to say on that. So we'll talk about it next time.
Yes. Well, we'll talk to y'all next time.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.